Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
It's past time to go foul pole to foul pole with the netting.
Someone's going to get hit in those stands. That is where things are headed. You may as well just put the line all the way up to the foul pole.
I don't see a reason not to. And even though you have disclaimers on the back of the ticket, I mean, when you are at a ball game and there are video boards up, it's not like it used to be. Teams are asking for your eyes to be elsewhere often. You've got vendors around, video boards and games, and so many things going on all the time as you're let alone being three.
We tell you every day how the exit velocities on these baseballs are increased now more than they've ever been. The ball's moving faster and people are paying less attention. Both of those things are okay, but both have to be careful.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Busy today with Rich Campbell sitting in for Connor McKnight. We've got Jessica Mendoza joining us just after 10. We've got Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, on the NBA at 10:20. Midday Midway comes your way at 10:40. Jonah Carey from The Athletic on baseball stuff at 11. And at some point after that, we're going to get the latest on what's going on with a potential omnibus gambling and or sports gambling fix for the state of Illinois from Joe Ostrowski, who's down in Springfield covering that. We're going to give away $1,000 cash, last chance at that for a while, and a pair of tickets to see Dead and Company at Wrigley Field on June 14th. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live, where we are streaming, 670thescore.com. You can send a text or a Friday sext if you want. We always enjoy that, to 67011. When you send, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at Rich_Campbell. I am at Dan_Bernstein.
You're stuck with the underscore, too.
Yeah, a lot of underscores.
Yeah.
Download the radio.com app. And that way you can stream the Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Watch us on these cameras. Brian Gertsch directs the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Producers Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, the executioner, Ray Diaz. All right, Rich Campbell, I have to congratulate you and your colleagues. We knew this was coming, but you had William Perry in the top 100, probably where he belongs, but honored as an all-time top 100 Chicago Bear. That, at 99, is correct.
I'm glad to hear you say that. And to preface this discussion, I would say very clearly that those of us at the Tribune have the utmost respect for Dan Pompey and Don Pearson. Those guys are legends.
We have to do this. This is a disclaimer.
I'm telling you, it's
mandatory.
Let me do this once and let it stand for the next 97 days as we roll out the rest of this list. Because honestly, if you're having a Tribune meeting and you say, we're going to rank the top 100 Bears, the next comment is, well, let's get Pompey and Pearson to help us.
Right.
But they're connected to the team. They're getting paid by the team to do their list, do the centennial scrapbook, which is going to be incredible. And their work is separated now from ours. So we had to come up with our own list without those guys' help. I was a little surprised that they left off the fridge. And we thought
Who's we, first of all? Give me the names here.
All right. The Bears beat writers. We have an army. It's Brad Biggs, Dan Weider, me, Colleen Kane. Okay. Probably not as lot of, let's say, I don't want to say quite experienced. Let's say we're not a storied group of Bears historians.
That's okay. It's
yes.
A different perspective.
Now there's editorial input as well from
Tim
people on the desk. The people who were in it were Chris Bogosian, Mike Sansoni, who's our Bears editor, Amanda Kashubi, the sports editor, Will Larkin, who was one of the editors there, did a ton of pre-work on this list. He came up with a point system to just to set a framework. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something like 5 points for an all pro
Okay.
Four points for a Pro Bowl.
Trying to quantify it.
Right. You tried to quantify it just to get the list going because there are so many players, number one, and number two, so many different eras you have to account for in ways that are truly impossible. How do you compare a 1930s All-Pro with a 1990s Pro Bowler?
Right, different game,
eight teams in the league at some point in the 30s. You know, it's just different.
They didn't have something called the forward pass for a certain period of time.
Yeah, it was a turnover if you threw an incomplete pass at one point.
Nor were there black guys.
Yeah, there you go. So that was really difficult, but that was the room. And from there were really important questions to ask along the way. Not necessarily like where is Beatty Feathers on the list, but things like who's higher, Urlacher or Singletary?
Urlacher.
Yeah.
Because he's better.
Yeah. But then that's where our list came down. That's also where Dan and Don's list came down. Is Robbie Gould on the list? You know, is Kevin Butler on the list?
And why is Patrick Manley the consensus 100th best player? What the hell?
That is a total coincidence that we both bookended our list with the same guys.
That's hilarious.
Now the fun is obvious. Number 100, though, it's such a I don't want to say a token thing because you know we talked about it on the show on the hit, but as you pointed out, one bad snap in all those seasons. Now we had one angry reader chime in and say this is a disrespect. Yes, Manley played more games than anyone as a Bear. But this is a disrespect to all the offensive defensive guys because give me the number of snaps he played.
Oh, come on.
I get that. But he is also, as Manley explained to Dan Weider in his sit down with Pat, he feels like he's got a pretty big part in that all-time scoring record of the franchise history Robbie Gould holds. I buy that.
All right. After an update, we need to determine if an apology is warranted.
He ended up, it's similar to what he had at the end of the season, and so when the season was over, we just thought, okay, let's pull back a little bit and let's let him get a little bit of rest, come back and see where it's at. We did that, and he just started, he wasn't feeling real comfortable with it, so we went ahead and a couple months ago he ended up getting sports hernia surgery. So we no need for us to keep dragging this thing out. Let's get the thing right, and we feel like we've done that.
That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about Trey Burton, who famously or infamously took himself down from the Bears playoff game against the Eagles when he said his groin locked up on him. It appeared out of nowhere. He said his groin locked up. He then sort of bizarrely said that his body reacts to threats by locking up, and we were all very confused. And here's where I am, Richie. You got to sort of lead me through this here. Because on the one hand, finding out now that a professional athlete was suffering from an inguinal hernia, that's a real injury. It's a very difficult one to play through. And it can show up in the way that it did. The pain can manifest in the way that it did. Yet, and we kind of, and look, let's be straight up. I was insinuating that I didn't kind of really understand what was going on or necessarily believe what was going on. On the other hand, the mitigating factor is that the team itself didn't do anything to talk us out of our curiosity or our doubt. What's right here?
Well, go back to the Friday before the playoff game. The game was Sunday, okay? Burton practiced that Friday in full. No sign that he was unfit. And the main practice days in the NFL, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, once you get through those, you're good to go. Saturday is more of a walkthrough, a simulated game, okay? Well, he showed up ahead of schedule Saturday morning complaining of this pain in the groin area. Did not know how it happened. Usually, these are acute injuries. There's an instance where you take a step and heck, some people, you sneeze, you pull those types of muscles. We're talking core muscles here that really affect lots of different types of movement. So Friday, he was okay. Saturday, he showed up baffled, really stumped by why he had this pain, but expressing to the team that it was debilitating enough that this was code red. This was a problem. He thought immediately that his status was in doubt.
And he didn't even test it out on Sunday.
Correct. Did not test it out because it wasn't. He knew that there was, he couldn't even test it. That's how bad it was. He went through the treatment all day Saturday, tried Sunday morning. They couldn't get it right. And I give Burton credit for after the game and as the postmortem of that playoff loss unfolded, he answered questions about his anxiety issues, his past issues with anxiety.
Right. That's
openly.
Another aspect of it.
You know,
yep.
I give him a lot of credit for that. And if you recall, he was uncertain when he was asked, is there any way that anxiety caused this? He said, I don't think so. But he wasn't definitive about that. And so here we are 5 months later, and it's now been revealed that he's had sports hernia surgery. So apparently whatever was wrong here, whatever was causing this pain, was enough to require surgical repair. Okay. But what we're still left with, and this is what we're going to have to try to wrap our heads around going forward, is how did this happen? How did this happen? Because if his body locked up and he felt this pain, and whatever happened when it quote unquote locked up required sports hernia surgery, okay, let's still go back to the cause. We still have questions about the cause that Burton has not definitively been able to answer. And so I don't think it's case closed on this anxiety issue. I think I'm comfortable giving Burton the benefit of the doubt when he says he doesn't think so. But how can you be sure? How can you be sure after it all goes forward that this doesn't happen again, that he's healed, that he's going to be 100%? It is unsettling if you're counting on a player at a thin position that clearly, based on that Eagles game, the Bears need to diversify what they do offensively.
And just so you know what a sports hernia is, it's also referred to as the hockey hernia. It is a torn, it can be any number of torn pieces of tissue. It can be a tendon, ligament, connective tissue, fascia that causes chronic groin pain, and untreated, essentially, your guts fall into your ball sack. I mean, it can be really bad left untreated. It can also manifest itself mysteriously. No two are the same. And it's super common in hockey. It's a lot of with like jump stops, twist turns, anything that is going to stress like your lower cavity of your torso can strain that area in a way that things can tear.
So if he had some type of tear that maybe it wasn't causing him pain, this had somehow occurred along the way here, is it possible that the buildup or the anxiety, I want to be very careful using the term anxiety because there's a lot to that I personally don't understand, that I think if you only understand it probably if you suffer from those types of issues, but is it possible that that was the trigger to bring the pain out? Burton says he doesn't think so, but he didn't say for sure. We haven't talked to him. It'll be interesting to talk to him when we finally get a chance, and it might not be until September.
This segment is brought to you by Icon Building Group. Attention Lake County homebuyers. Saturday, June 1st and Sunday, June 2nd, tour the beautiful new custom homes of Riviera Estates. Located in Greg's Landing in Vernon Hills, Riviera Estates is the perfect opportunity to build your custom home. Search icon-group.com for all the details. That's icon-group.com. He's Rich Campbell in for Connor McKnight on Bernstein and McKnight. So much going on. We had an NBA game that turned a little sideways for the champions in a way they probably didn't expect. The Cubs are in St. Louis. That means Chris Bryant has to find some way to fend off the boredom that's stultifying St. Louis.
Well, it's not going to be outside his hotel room, obviously.
Oppressive boredom. And the fact is, St. Louis really isn't boring. St. Louis is actually kind of a fun place, I think. I enjoyed myself there. When we come back, let's revisit what both Nagy and Burton said of the timeline of that injury, of what we now know, how we need to perhaps look at it differently to kind of come to a decision on this. I think it's worth it to go back and hear what was said at the time so we can try to square this a little bit. So keep it here. We're Bernstein and McKnight, Rich Campbell, and today on The Score.
Came into practice Friday feeling okay, a little stiff. Got done with practice, you know, was all right. Went home Friday night and started feeling a little bit more stiff. Woke up Saturday and my groin was completely locked, and I had a tough time walking, tough time doing really anything. And then tried to do everything we could, you know, Saturday night, really all day, and then Sunday morning, but it wouldn't loosen up and let go, so wasn't able to play.
Bears tight end Trey Burton, that was from last fall, explaining what happened in a mysterious situation. Injury appeared out of nowhere, and we knew his history. We know he's kind of an odd guy, and a lot of us started putting things together and thinking, what the hell's going on here? Is he tapping out of this game? What is he talking about with his body and his anxiety? And it all got very, very strange. but you don't have surgery unless you need surgery. And he had surgery to repair what we now know was a hernia. That's why he had the groin pain. That's why things locked up. That's why he couldn't walk. But everything got strange the way the team dealt with it. Rich Campbell is in for Connor McKnight today on Bernstein and McKnight. And you were there for every step of it.
Yeah, and I never doubted that it was a real injury. And that's where I think the water got a little muddy in the context of the anxiety that Burton admitted he had been affected by in the past, particularly about throwing the replica, the Bears version of the Philly special. Remember that they
didn't want to
do it. He asked out of it. And that's, again, I appreciate his candor about this. And so I think it became a little bit murky. Maybe there was some confusion. Some people thought that this was a falsified injury, a psychosomatic injury, not real. That was never the line of thinking I went down, but it was more correlation, causation. Was it triggered by the anxiety?
Anxiety can't rip your tissue, you know?
But does it cause your muscles to contract?
Did he say he would feel it in a way that he wouldn't have otherwise felt an injury that existed? I mean,
maybe
fear isn't going to tear the fascia. It's not going to cause a hernia. Hernia.
But what if, as we talked about before, that this sort of manifests differently for every one of these things?
How he feels it? Yeah, I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe the pain, you know, starts to come on. Because I've never suffered this type of anxiety, but it's real. It's enough for him that he said physically he could not throw those passes because he has the mental block about it.
All right, I want to hear from Matt Nagy back at the time and then ask a question about a decision that he made that affected the Bears in that game.
The Burton injury sort of caught us off guard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share some background on that?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's he got up this morning and yesterday. He got up yesterday and he said it was early. It was like 5 in the morning. He was getting there the same time I was, and his groin hurt. So they went through just trying to get everything looked at and see what's going on. They did tests and everything, and that's when we weren't sure what was going to happen. And then we had to, you know, last night go ahead and mention it. So it crushed him. It absolutely crushed him. I mean, I just saw him in there, and he feels bad. But because he feels like he wasn't there for his guys. And then, of course, it's how ironic. I mean, just crazy ironic that it's against Philadelphia. So it is. As you go through these things, things happen. And he had a great week of practice all week. And then all of a sudden, you know, this. But that's what it is. I mean, that's how things go. And I told Trey yesterday, you know, he's bummed out. I said, hey, you got to understand, you know, stay positive. Hopefully we go get a win and then you come back next week against the Rams, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's too bad. And here's the question I have for you. We now know that the game plan for the Eagles was centered in large part on Trey Burton, using him when we saw the pitch to Ben Broniker early in the game. To establish that, that's a core play for them. It's not supposed to be run for Ben Broniker.
Right.
And the use, it allowed them to roll their coverage toward Tariq Cohen in a way that took him effectively out of the game plan for a while. Did Matt Nagy make a mistake by not adjusting his game plan away from the U tight end before the game?
I think it's so unusual to have this type of injury surface so late in the week. So then the question is, what was possible? You know, because they've practiced everything. Are we stripping down the game plan and taking, let's say you take that shovel pass out because it can't be run to Ben Broniker.
The shovel pass. The way, as I understand the way Nagy game plans, there are routes that are run by certain guys intended to pull defenders to areas, to open other areas for other guys. And when you don't have somebody who's as nimble and athletic as Burton, and it's somebody else who's a little slower or a little blockier, it changes the geometry of everything.
No question. And you saw it because, like you said, the Eagles were able to use a linebacker on Tariq Cohen. They used Malcolm Jenkins on Tariq Cohen. Cohen, who is the Bears' most explosive, probably best offensive player, four touches in that game. Three catches for 27 yards and one carry for none.
And you might have asked him a little bit about that. He got kind of salty. He's like, yeah, well, sure, I should have gotten it to Cohen more.
Yeah.
He knew it.
I know. And I think Nagy, along the way, probably went through more of those types of illuminating moments or second guess moments than maybe the 12-4 record caused or allowed us to shine a light on. It'll be interesting to see them go through another year. The subtext being, of course, that you can get Tariq Cohen a touch by just handing him the ball. It's not Allen Robinson that you've got to have a couple of variables come together in order to throw him the ball. Exactly.
A jet sweep.
And they weren't doing that. So I think there are problems with the Bears' game plan. You're always going to find them in a game where you have 11 possessions and punt six times. That's what happened. But the other part of that is it just showed that the Bears retooling of their running backs and wide receiver position was not just a one-year venture. Mm-hmm. And truly, we've seen that now over the last 5 months since that game, is that they went from the receiving group overhauling it a year ago. They still added a receiver in Riley Ridley this offseason and then went out and got two new running backs. That cupboard was so bare when Nagy arrived.
And it was so obvious that they didn't like Jordan Howard.
Oh, it was so obvious that what's truly interesting about 2019 is that now, no more excuses. That cupboard has been restocked, definitively with heavy investment. So now, number 10, what do you do with it? What can you do with all of these guys that they've given you, that they've handpicked? And I think the Eagles game was a really important reality check that, man, this supporting cast just wasn't good enough. When you lost Trey Burton, they lost so much of that offense. It became a one-man show. Eagles took Tariq Cohen out of the game, and all was left was Allen Robinson, who had a really nice game. 140 yards or something receiving, and they just didn't have enough around him.
It's sort of like when a college coach comes in and it's not his recruits. These are his recruits.
Yes.
These are guys, and if we believe everything they say about working.
Yeah, now Mitch isn't, and that's an important one, but his endorsement of Mitch.
He wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't like Mitch.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, technically it's not his guy, but it's his guy.
Once he said yes to coach the Bears, that
no
became
doubt.
His guy whether he wanted to
no
or
doubt.
Not. But
no
if,
doubt.
And if we take them at their word that he and Ryan Pace work as a tandem, they're not getting any players that are forced down his throat where a GM likes a guy, make it work.
Yeah.
Make it work. That I'm with you. Where they say 100 level to 200 level, we better see it. We better damn see it. And there's a lot stacked against the Bears this year. There's a lot of history. There are a lot of betting trends, a lot of facts stacked against a team that makes the improvement the Bears made from one year to the next. It's really hard to sustain.
So if we acknowledge that the supporting cast was limited even at that point last season, then what's the suggestion? What's the solution for Nagy Saturday afternoon when he comes to the realization, oh man, this guy's not going to play. Mm-hmm. This guy's not going to play. So where does he go? I mean, what can we look and say, okay, here's your answer?
I'd love to know that story.
But I don't know. Say the answer is?
I don't know. Maybe Nagy looked at it as like, I don't have it.
We don't have it on the roster.
Yeah, right now, I don't really have a plan B. I can't make chicken salad out of this. If I'm not going to have this guy who's so important to everything that we do, let's just put another guy in there and run what we got to run.
Now, would you take that then as a criticism of Nagy? I think it would be fair. I think it would be fair. Say, hey, coach, here's your challenge. Boy,
we need you
to work magic. We need you to work this here. You're the innovator. You're the offensive creative mind. You're the engine here. Figure it out. And oh, by the way, you're not sleeping Saturday night. You're up all night. I don't know what's fair. That'd be interesting to get to the coach about.
That's Rich Campbell in for Connor McKnight. We are going to have a conversation with Jessica Mendoza of Sunday Night Baseball coming up in just a couple of minutes. So keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.